Romans chapter 2 and verse 7 is our text this evening. Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. We entitled this lesson, How to Acquire Patience. Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor, immortality, eternal life. We see in this text the importance of patience. It's a must. You don't have a Christian life without patience in living the Christian life. We also see times in our lives when we fail to exhibit patience. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 says, Pray without ceasing. Have we stopped praying? If so, we've stopped our patience. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 9, we're not to grow weary in well-doing. Have we come to the place where we've stopped our well-doing? In Hebrews chapter 6, 11, we are told that we are to remain faithful. Have we remained faithful in these things? We know we don't always have patience, so how do we develop it? How do we acquire patience? Patience begins with obedience. You don't have patience without obedience. God says you are to do something, you are to do it, and you are to continue to do it as long as it is required. This being God, it's always required. We are to continue steadfastly. Notice in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Pentecost, actually that evening, they began to worship. They partook of the Lord's Supper. They most likely there was no dry eye there, remembering what they were to remember on that great day. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now it's the nature of things, because we are linear beings. We know linear time, that the apostles' doctrine was not dumped in their heads all at one time, and they were to remember it. I remember a preacher that told us that preaching to a congregation was kind of like a soft rain, that kind you really need to soak up the ground. That if you do that over a period of time, it will add fertility and it will add everything needed in order to make. And that's the way it is. You don't dump the apostles' doctrine into one's head just at one time. First of all, even if you could, they're not going to understand it all at one time. It takes time to process. Even the most diligent need to take time in order to receive the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. This tells us that it took time. It took week to week, day by day, month by month, year by year, in order for them to receive and know what the apostles had learned. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, after reminding the Corinthian brethren about the resurrection and about the coming resurrection that they were to enjoy, about the possibility that they would be taken away, that is, to heaven, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, after giving them that great promise, the Apostle Paul gives an instruction. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Patience begins with obedience. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. I believe we often use this passage of scripture for another purpose, to show how that the gospel had been preached in every nation in the first century. But we need to remember that first part: if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Once again, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Continue. That is, you can't lose your patience. Patience begins with obedience, Obedience is coupled with a promise. In Revelation 3, verse 21, the book of Revelation is famous for its instances of the word overcome. That if you overcome, you're going to sit on the throne with me, Jesus says. Revelation 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. A certain reward for a certain action. To overcome. Now, what are we overcoming? We're overcoming sin. We're overcoming temptation. These are the things that that Jesus tells us that we'll be rewarded for. Revelation 21 and verse 7. Revelation 21 and verse 7. Whoever cometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. He shall be my son. The one that overcomes, that gets through, the one that continues to bear the burden, the one that continues to move toward the mark, that one will be receiving eternal life. Patience continues with edification. We've seen that patience begins with obedience, but patience continues with edification, being built up. Now, nobody likes to hear another attendance sermon. How about an edification sermon? Edification means being built up, and you can't be edified if the one to edify you is home somewhere. You cannot edify someone else, not together. Edification is very important. But remember Paul's example, and we're reminded of each other's example as we come together. And so it's important. Look what Paul went through, and doing so remained faithful. 2 Corinthians 11. I'm certain that the Apostle Paul was reminding the Corinthian brethren what he had gone through in order to get them the gospel, and how that he had remained faithful in all of the things that he had been through. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24. Paul writes, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, and wearyings and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. We're in awe of those in our families in time past who went through the Depression and then the Great War. Aren't you in awe of those people who did more with less, under greater peril than we do ourselves? I remember hearing Ronald Reagan getting a heckle, and he says, "But Mr. Reagan, today we have rockets and we have electronics and we have all this. How can you lead us through this particular time?" And he said, "Son, who do you think invented those things?" Well, our parents did. Our grandparents did. In the worst of times, they began those things, the nuclear age and all those things that we wonder about today. We stand in awe of people in our past who lived through those times. My grandfather was said to always have a job no matter where he went. But the only reason he did is because he could outwork anybody that lived. At least that's the story I hear. He always had a job because people knew Ted's in town, somebody's going to lose their job. That's what was said when he came down. I didn't hear that from him. I heard it from others that knew him. Patience continues with edification. The Apostle Paul is how we stand in awe of those that have gone on before. What did he do? Well, his attitude was crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. His example was his attitude. His expectation, having been patient, 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul tells us about what he expects of an evangelist in the first part of that chapter. Tells Timothy and us to preach the word. And then in chapter 4, verse 6, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Edification. You know, you can tell the difference between how people read something like the 23rd Psalm. There was a story one time about people in a devotional at someone's home reading the 23rd Psalm, and of course a child was asked to read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know how youngins read. They're really not thinking about what the passage says, but then the elderly saint begins to read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's a difference. Because one is a source of edification. The other one is the one that needs edification. Why do they have older men as generals? Because they've smelled the smoke. Because they've heard the war. They have been wounded. They know what it's all about. They know how to set the battle. They have experience. They are the ones to edify. The ones who are now the tip of the spear to go and win battle. There's a general for a reason, along with there are privates for a reason. Patience continues with edification. Paul says, now it's up to us. Romans 8, verses 35 and following. Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Stop right there. More than conquerors. He's writing to the church at Rome, who knew what conquerors was all about. Open their windows and see the marching armies come in from the foreign lands, leading those that were carrying the gold and the treasure and the slaves, all coming in because they had conquered a land. Even the kings that had defended their lands were being brought in chains. Paul says, more than conquerors. Those armies that went out did not conquer one sin, did not promise one promise that was eternal. But we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors, he says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The victory is won. That's what edification is all about. Reminding ourselves what it is that we are aiming for, what's prepared for us, and why we should just keep on going. Sometimes it's all you can do. I understand problems in life. I understand that when there are problems in the family and a daughter goes bad and all of that. I have a sister that was a runaway. I know about those things. I have a brother who went through legal problems, probably because he did it. Problems. Yes, I know about problems. I know about mom and dad shouting at one another. I know all of that. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the